Okay.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Monday, December 30th, 2024. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter How It Works. On page 68, we will be reading the first paragraph, starting with, we reviewed our fears thoroughly, going through that one paragraph ending in, when it made us cocky, it was worse. Today's readers are, and thank you so much to Team Monday for December. Awesome working with you. Chanel T, Tamara C, Elizabeth D, Patrick O, Susan G, Patrick O on the steps, and Tamara C on their traditions, and our newcomer greeter, Suzanne W, and the host for the second awesome unrecorded hour, Ann A. The share ID for yesterday's special edition, Sunday, December 29th, is 22,033. That's 22033. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Patrick O. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Patrick.
Good morning. This is Patrick, compulsive eater. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly omitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. I will now ask for Tamara C. to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Tamara.
Okay, good morning. Tamara C., recovered in Missouri. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality.
Thank you so much, Tamara. Appreciate you filling in. Okie dokie, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear me say time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Press *1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study in the Big Book. We are on page 68, the first paragraph, and I'm going to ask Chanel P. to get us started. Please go ahead, Chanel. Can't wait.
Hi, thank you so much for your service. This is Chanel in Washington. I am recovered today by the grace of God. We reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper even though we had no resentment in connection with them. We asked ourselves why we had them. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us once had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. When it made it cocky, it was worse. Unchecked for me, Chanel T. Fear is my default. It's my standard operating procedure. And, you know, and it is an evil and corroding thread running through every aspect of my life. We read about that the other day. And it's not just self-reliance with me. It's other with a little O reliance. And unchecked and unrecovered, I put my faith in people and institutions and situations, and guess how well that goes? By putting my reliance on myself or others with a little O. What I end up doing is building my house on sand. You know what that means? It means that any storm can and will wash it all away. And that's, I would live in the fear of that. I've lived so, I just dwelled there so much of my life. And I absolutely ate over fear. I ate over it, no question. I ate because I'm a compulsive eater. I also ate from the fear. I was always in fear. Here's the good news. Once I put just the tiniest amount of faith in an other with a capital O, a higher power I choose to call God, and I let that power into my food, turned my will and my life over to the care of that power, and that means also my food, and began to work the 12 steps as outlined in this book, I found a real faith and I found a real life. It's freedom I've never felt before, you guys. I've never ever felt it before. I highly recommend it if you're looking for it, and I'm forever grateful. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chanel T, for getting us started. Awesome. Okay, now we will take names for those who would like to share on what was read. Again, although we value your experience, strength, and help, if you've shared in the last couple of days, namely Thursday or Friday on any of the Vision for You meetings, we ask that you step aside and allow others to share their experience, strength, and hope. Okay, so who would like to share what was read?
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Shanna C.
Darlene A.
Riska R.
Darlene H.
Sari M.
Riska. It's H. Lisa, Shanna, Darlene, Riska, who'd I miss? I miss somebody. Anyone else?
Tamara C.
Tamara.
Janice PM.
Janice. Can you take a couple more?
I think you missed Sherry M.
There we go. Thank you, Sherry. Okay, we got a great lineup here. Lisa B.
Connie
Shanna
M.
C.
from Philadelphia.
Connie? Okay, we can
yes.
Put Connie M. here. All right, add you up to the list. Lisa B., Shanna C., Darlene M., Rivka H., Tamara C., Janice P. M., Sherry M., and Connie M. All right, Lisa, you are up. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Amy. Thank you for your service and for everyone that's doing service. My name Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm here in South Carolina, and I do spell my name L-E-S-A. Well, the first, I really identified with the reader, and that was a wonderful share for me to hear. You know what really jumped out for me when it said when it made us cocky, it was worse. Oh, my goodness, the whole thing about this program for me and what we get in this big book is staying right-sized, you know, and getting right-sized is often painful. It's big chunks and small little tidbits and parts of me that have to be removed. And it's through falling on my face, you know, hopefully and by God's grace, not into the food, but just falling through life. You know, I always say it's like learning to play the violin in public. Just squeaks and squeals come out and other people hear it and see it. But we have a plan, you know, a process of going through these steps, and 4 through 9 is where the spiritual surgery takes place. And, you know, we listed them, we review them thoroughly, we put them on paper, even though there's no resentment in connection. And I see, it's because self-reliance failed me, and I so much wanted to be able to rely on myself. And like our speaker shared, you know, I want to rely on other people, and that's not the answer. You know, the answer, the solution, we learn about the solution is getting a relationship with our Creator, our Maker, and, you know, turning to Him in a state of powerlessness and surrender. And, you know, I think about the fears. It's often my inferiority, my inadequacy. It's often becoming overwhelmed, you know, just getting overwhelmed that I won't be able to handle it. And then what? And then I could turn to the food. And then what? And then I would die. But the thing is, I don't always die quickly. You know, it's a slow process. Sometimes my fear is of relying on God alone for my sense of ease and comfort. My fear is getting trapped in a situation that it's never going to go away. a fear of exposure that I'm going to be seen in not as perfect. So staying right sized, I need God to keep me right sized. I need this process. And I oftentimes need to share with fellows my fears. But of course, I always go to God first. So anyways, thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa B. Oh, goodness. North Carolina or South Carolina? It just went right out of my head.
South Carolina.
Okay. All right. I should have gone with my gut. All right. Here we go. Thank you, Lisa. All right. Shanna C., followed by Darlene M. Go ahead, Shanna.
Good morning. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Thank you, Amy, for your service and everyone who's being in service on this line. Fear has been the chief motivator and the fuel that has fueled me my whole life. And once I saw that it was actually a damaged and unsalable good that didn't work anymore, fear, my actions based on fear set in motion trains of circumstances that I felt I didn't deserve. And I ended up putting myself in positions to be hurt because fear for me my actions taken in fear, my mind tells me because my intentions are so good, I'm just either trying to protect myself or somebody else. It causes me to rely on myself rather than God. It causes me to rely on my own thinking because I'm in this state of panic without even realizing. I've lived that way my whole life. It's this constant self-propulsion. Fear pushes me into self-propulsion, and it causes me to take actions that put me in a position to be hurt. And so, like, say, for instance, once the food is down, then all of a sudden all these faulty emotional dependencies start coming to the surface. And so what the fear inventory has helped me do is it helped me to see all of the things I'm placing dependence on ahead of God. I didn't know. And part of the reason is I honestly had the idea in my head and it still can slip into that idea that it is my job to pull myself up by my bootstraps and figure it out like a normal person. Well, I couldn't do that with food, even though it was killing me. How am I supposed to rid myself of a character defect? Like, that's the whole point. I need a power greater than me in order to live. And so that's what this book is about. And so the fear inventory is part of that. Where am I placing faulty emotional dependencies? Well, some of mine can be dependent upon people, strong people. They're going to save me. Well, what ends up happening? Well, that strong person is human. And if I, make that person responsible for my recovery, then I get to blame them. And then I'm off scot-free. Same thing, in other situations as well. Well, they're mean to me. It's their fault I'm the way I am. And it's an innate thing that I didn't know that I was doing, but that's what I was when I'm depending upon people ahead of God. And so it could be all kinds of different things. Food was just a symptom. So the cool thing is this book is designed to enable us to find a power by which we can live. And so the directions in it and have enabled me to do that. And it's a miracle for my life. Grateful to be abstinent and recovered today and to be able to live as one of many. And when that fear crops up, I get to ask God to remove it and turn my thoughts to someone I can help, acting as if he's real and is going to take care of me. And then I get to see that he is when I take that action. All right. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Shanna C. from Tennessee. All right, Darlene M. and Rivka R., Rivka H. Anyway, Darlene, please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, Amy. Thank you for your service. This is Darlene H. I am located in Virginia, and I am recovered by the grace of God. Thank you for your service. Fear, gosh. I had no idea. Thank you, God, for a fourth-step inventory, because that helped me to look at fears aside from, fear of heights, fear of financial insecurity, which is really, that's important. But I needed to get down to the nitty-gritty of things to realize how my life was being run. And I had no idea. I mean, I was brought up in a culture of you know, if you wanted to get things done, you did it. And that was in everything. That was in times of crisis, good, bad, different, you know. You ignore the fear, you ignore your feelings, and you just get down and get it done. So little did I know that I was being propelled by fear all the time. And so a fourth step helped me to identify those fears, the feeling of the fear and how I reacted to the fear, the things that I did with that. And then to what was really important for me was my spontaneous fear. And if this happens, what will I ask myself? What's going to happen if this happens? And when I look at it, especially in an inventory setting, I get to see that I have survived everything that I was ever afraid of in the past. So I get to take that information and move forward with it. A couple of months ago, I got smacked down hard with fear over a situation with my brother that's actually still continuing on today. And it paralyzed me. It absolutely did a number on me. And how I did not eat, I will never know, aside from the grace of God. But talk about powerlessness. I could identify that I was afraid. I could identify that things were out of my control and that there was not one thing I could do about it except to turn myself, my fears, my everything over to a power greater than myself and carry on. And carry on. And I will tell you, I mean, recovered, not recovered, doesn't matter, in the food, out of the food, fear still pops up on a regular basis. It's what I do with it. And my favorite prayer is God, you know, the fear prayer, God, please remove my fears and direct my attention to what you would have me be, not do, because Darlene was the human doer. And now I'm a beer. And oftentimes it's be patient. Thank you, God. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Darlene H. from Virginia, my neighbor. Okay, Rivka, you are up, followed by Tamara C. Go ahead, Rivka.
Good morning, Amy. Thanks so much for your service. Everyone on the line, and all the great shares. It's Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive eater in Baltimore. I had the usual fears. I think my biggest were like fear of not being loved because I wasn't a certain body size and fear of what others would think of me if I wasn't that certain body size. And I mean, I was so fear-based that, like, if my husband came home late, I was already planning the funeral. but my fear of dying, I think, was more my fear of like, suffering any discomfort or panic. And actually, my worst fear was getting to the end of my life and feeling like I blew this lifetime, like I was a disappointment to God, myself. I didn't have the courage to like live up to my potential. I just wasted this whole life. But there's one insidious manifestation of fear that gripped me last week. Something happened, and my reaction to it triggered this like avalanche of shame. And at first, I didn't identify it as a fear. It just felt like this iron prison that I couldn't get out of. And whoa, I mean, the havoc it caused, insomnia, depression. Like, I tried 10 steps on it, and I tried to keep moving. It was really, really hard. So, like, I'm laying there, you know, at 2 a.m. after not being able to sleep for hours. And even though I did a lot of work around it, I guess there was still self-reliance and self-hate because it wasn't dislodging. And like the last person shared, like the only thing that could free me was God and the 12 steps. So I said, I just laid there and I said, you know, God, I give up. I'm powerless over the shame. My life is unmanageable. I know you can restore me to sanity because this shame is an insanity. And I give my will and my life over to your care. So like, I know this shame is not the reality that you want for me. And if I don't sleep, that's your will. If I do sleep, that's your will. Whatever your will is, I accept it. Thank God, right after that, I did fall asleep. And what I thought was the shame gripping me was really me gripping the shame. And when I truly abandoned myself and let God take over, like, it worked. Self-reliance, it always fails me. And I think some, you know, God arranges things sometimes, like to bring up stuff that I don't even realize I'm hanging on to, so he can let me just let go of it. And it was helpful when the person who gave the special edition yesterday said that, you know, she has to make a conscious effort not to go into a state of self-hatred. And I realized shame is just self-hatred. And actually, self-hatred is the opposite of humility. Like, who am I to hate myself for making a mistake? So, you know, and what's so wonderful is I know I can't blow it this lifetime. It's like, as long as I'm connecting to, you know, to God and helping people the best way that I can and staying abstinent, like, you know, there's no failure there. It's just what God wants me, where and what he wants me to be doing at that moment, if I, the best of my ability. And if I fail, that's also part of the plan. You know, it's, you know, a learning experience. And what's really beautiful is, I used to think, you know, that's
fine.
You know, I'll just end with this. Like, you know, I think before, therefore I am. Well, I used to be, I eat, therefore I am. But I'm so grateful now that God released me from that insanity also. So thanks so much, everyone, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Rivka R. from Baltimore, Maryland. Okay, Tamara C., you're up, followed by Janice P.M. Go ahead, Tamara.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Amy. This is Tamara C., grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. So reviewed my fears thoroughly. Yeah, I liked how the reader said it was my standard operating procedure. Me too, but I didn't even know it. I didn't recognize it. I thought this was just how normal felt. Like, this is just what it means to be responsible, is to worry about everything and try to control everything. And then it says, I put them on paper, even like if there was no resentment involved. So for me, I started with my resentment list. I went to that fourth column and I looked where I had listed fear as being involved and what were the fears that drove those resentments. And so I moved those to my fear inventory. And then I looked for any other fears that were not yet listed. And I asked myself for these fears why I had them. And I was encouraged to not just quickly move past that question, but to really dig in and let God reveal things to me and the answer to why I had these fears. And my sponsor gave me some questions that I could ask myself to help me really open up and see the patterns. What was the origin of my fears and how do I keep the ball rolling with old ideas about just how to manage better? But ultimately, for me, the answer does boil down to I have these fears because self-reliance fails me. In some way, I'm just trying to secure my own safety through controlling, comparing, figuring out, scaring myself, shaming or blaming, manipulating, impressing, preventing. It's all me controlling reality. I'm trying to run the universe so I can arrange everything and be okay. And yeah, this fails me. It keeps me so distracted that I miss the gentle, loving direction of my higher power. And it turns out I'm not able to secure my own worth and safety. And there are times when I have felt like, I did it. I was able to control, like, there's some big event that I was in charge of, and I was really, you know, stressed out about and worried, and I worked really hard, and it came off well, and everyone said, oh, that's great, and I think, okay, everything's okay. And then half a second later, back into fear, like, well, should I have done this, and what's next, what else do I need to control so I'm okay tomorrow? And fear is not my solution, it is my problem. It just really fails me. And I'm so grateful. There's another way to live. My higher power did not create me to live with fear as my constant companion. And so I get to use this inventory every day and keep moving towards serenity. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you so much, Tamara C. from Missouri. Janice P.M., you're up, followed by Sherry M. And just a friendly reminder before Janice goes, in case you got on a little late, we are on page 68. We are going through the first paragraph there. We reviewed our fears. Okay, go ahead, Janice.
Well, thank you, Amy. This is Janice P.M., and I live in Massachusetts. I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to pass due to my honesty, what God has shown me. I shared on Thursday. So I'm not due. My ego says, no, Janice, no honesty. You cannot see it today. So that's why I'm passing. Thank you.
Okay, Janice, appreciate that so much. Okay, Sherry M., you're up, followed by Connie M., and then we're going to take some more names. Let's keep it going. Sherry, are you there? Press star 1 to unmute.
Hi, this is Sherry M. from New York. I wasn't sure if you heard me the first round. Thank you.
I did not, so please go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So I remember doing my fourth step and listing my fears. I think that was the biggest list that I've ever written, you know, from fear of spiders down to fear of what people think of me. And I thought, oh my gosh, I didn't realize, you know, until it was staring back at me in the face, how many fears I actually had. And it says, you know, we asked ourselves why we had them. And, you know, I was always trying to control everything and everyone. And none of those, most of the fears that I have on a regular basis don't come true. You know, I spend so much time worrying, losing sleep, you know, thinking about it. What will people think of me? And so self-reliance is, you know, a trait that we have, but without taking God with us on this trip that we're all on, this daily life, you know, relying on self and trying to control everything and everyone, it doesn't work, because I tried it for so many years until I came into this program. You know, the fear prayer, God, remove this fear and direct my attention to what you'd have me be. And I say that prayer a lot. And I always get the direction that I need. You know, I don't have to worry about what other people think. I don't have to do it perfectly. I don't have to make it all nicey-nice. I just have to rely on the power of God, because if I do things alone, I'm still going to believe that fear, the fears that I have, and it's a much better way to live. So I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry M. from New York. Okay, Connie M., you're up. We're going to take some more names. Please go ahead.
Hi. Excuse me. Hi, I'm Connie M. from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm so grateful to everyone that is here this morning for all the shares. I have to say, so I'm a recovering food addict, 35 years, and I've had the same sponsor for many years and has told me about this meeting for probably the last 10, and I realized this morning that it was fear that, well, I'm not as recovered as, but I'm not sure I'm good enough for, and again, it's, and it wasn't for me the fear, I think there is also resentment that came with mine, because I had a fear of what other people thought was the biggest kicker for me. I come from a family of 10 children, very, very accomplished are the other 9, and I was also accomplished in my field. I was a special education teacher, and, you know, changing the lives of special children and all of that. And it became my family, I guess, for a while, with parents that I dealt with and children. And then I got hurt, and I became very ill, and have, that was the end of the career. And to this day, which was about 10, 12 years ago, and the consequences of which were being put in a coma and things like that that were very difficult, and that family that helped out at the time and still were friends. And this, over this past year, we lost my mom and dad. And that fear of, how am I going to get back in there? Am I good enough? Am I, you know, I'm not what any of them are. Some are very well known and and we're all married, and our husbands or wives are all really accomplished, and I don't work. And it was my identity. I truly believe it was a gift from God that I did what I did. I loved my job every day I went. And I also have two sons that were just married close together over the past half a year. So now it's just me and my husband. So it's like that fear of, where am I now? Who am I now? My kids are gone. They have wives. My husband is here, who I love and is a wonderful supporter. Anyway, besides that, doing affirmations this morning, I feel like it was no coincidence that the affirmation for today was breathe in confidence and exhale fear. And I also thought we were on two paragraphs ahead of this. And I'm thinking, again, I'm going to read this again because I am doing a 90 and 90 with the meeting. I want to get involved more with Vision for You and use myself wisely the way God wants me to. So thanks for being here and letting me share. I'm really grateful. So grateful that I picked up the phone about a month ago. And I pass. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Thank you so much, Connie M. So grateful to have you. Connie M. from Philly, PA. Okay, so friendly reminder, before we take more names, we are on page 68, the first paragraph. We reviewed our fears thoroughly. So who else would like to share on what was read?
Laura F.
Christina J. in North Carolina.
Laura F.
Ginger C. Colorado.
Christina J. Ginger C.
Janet C. Janet
C. Janet C.
I'm Ruka K. from Toronto.
Tony B.
Penny? Is it Penny?
No, it's Tony B.
Okay, hold on. Penny, Jenny, I'm still not getting it.
Bruja K. from Toronto, Canada.
Bruja K. Okay, that's fine. We're going to hold there. But did I miss a Penny or a Jenny? I'm still missing that one person. If you're there.
Was it Tony B? Tony B?
Might have been Tony. It was breaking up, so I couldn't. All I got was the E-N-N-Y kind of thing. Okay, great. So we'll go with that and see what we have left. Laura S., Christina J., Ginger C., Janet C., Tony B., and Broha K. All right, let's roll. Laura S., you're up. Please go ahead. Laura, are you there? Press star 1 to unmute. Or did I not hear Laura?
Thank you so much. Sorry about that. Yeah, I'm Laura L. Hi, everybody. I'm from Connecticut. Thank you, everybody, for your service. And I'm a compulsive eater, food addict, bulimic, and restrictor. I knew I had to share when I heard this paragraph this morning. Fear is, the corroding thread that has been the big book for me all my life. And I've been in program 23 years now and still battling the fears, but it's, the help of my higher power and the fellowship and all of you, I'm getting better. So my fears range from everything that people have said so far, fear of doing something wrong, getting in trouble, getting punished, and then getting abandoned or being abandoned. And that stems from childhood trauma, abuse, et cetera. And then the fear of not being respected, liked, accepted. I had a mother that was extremely critical of my looks. And so I'm terrified I don't look good enough, well enough, thin enough, pretty enough, goes on and on. And I fear aging. I'm 65, and I feared aging since I was young. And I feared death, and I feared that since I was young. And so just all these fears just manifest themselves. And I also fear wasting my life. I've been on and off depressed and depression a good chunk of my life and extremely anxious. And so just a whole bunch of stuff. I have anxiety disorder, but that's you know, it's just part of who I am and having come from where I've come from. And I just thank my higher power every morning and every second I get for helping me find this program. I was so resistant and so self-reliant. It took me years to have faith that there's something greater than me that can restore me to sanity and remove my fears. And and so, you know, it's accepting life on life's terms, accepting that I'm doing the best I can in that moment and not dwelling on all those past moments when the best I could hurt other people or angered other people or got me into situations where I was violated or victimized, and that all came from fear. It was people pleasing. It was trying to, you know, not lose a friend or make sure people liked me, or, you know, just all of it. And not speaking up for myself has gotten me in a whole heap of trouble at work. It's just, you know, all these lessons that I've been shown and all these teachers. Thank you so much. I'll wrap up there. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you so much, Laura L. from Connecticut. Christina J., you're up, followed by Ginger C. Go ahead, Christina.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. in North Carolina. Boy, I tell you what, I think I could take this paragraph for myself or anyone I'm working with, and we could spend a week on it, writing about this self-reliance and this self-confidence that many of us carried around that helped me forge through life, the early part of my life. So I can look back and say I'm grateful for that self-reliance and that confidence. It launched me out into the world and made me work towards really making a path for myself and opened up all the roads I needed to experience, all the failure, really not failure, but learning, touching all the hot stoves that I thought was going to do it for me, you know. And I burnt out. I exhausted myself. And through a series of events this year, God taught me that none of that's going to work, honey. You got to give it up. You got to surrender. Because where are you sitting with all that self-reliance and confidence, still trying to bust down the walls, still trying to get people to like you no matter what? Even if they don't like you, you want them to like you. Still chasing that validation, still wanting to put yourself out there. You're exhausted. Aren't you exhausted? Don't you want to rely on me? Don't you want to surrender? And I tasted a little bit of that surrender. When I turned 60, I'm 66 now, standing out in the rain on my porch in Washington. And for the first time, when things weren't going my way, I ran out of money and I realized, oh, my God, that's what the big book's talking about, surrendering all to God. It took me 5 more years to begin to realize what I needed to do, because I can't live one day at a time in fear. I can't live one day at a time with God when I'm reaching out into the future, telling myself, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do the other thing, and God, well, he must be behind it. No, I have to get quiet, put the food down so I can hear. I got to hear. I can't hear through the food. I can't hear through anything that's blocking me from God. Today I have a good fear. It's a fear that scares me to rely on self. I'm actually been kind of really tentative to move forward in anything because I need to know God's will. So I don't want to end up in financial failure again. I don't want to end up laying in bed in fear at night that things aren't working the way I want them to. Self-confidence, you know, self-reliance, I learned that as a child. I was born into fear, into a horrible situation that actually turned out to be a gift to forge out in life, to try all these things with my self-confidence and my self-reliance, and then down on my knees in the food, lost, desperate. And what's the gift of that? By God, the gift is God. The gift is connecting to my soul and my heart and having that guide me each day. I'm so grateful to be neutral around the food and so grateful for this program that has brought me to God and to you guys. I lived in isolation in my fear, in my self-confidence, in my self-reliance. I could do it myself. I didn't need to. Today I can't do it. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina J. from North Carolina. Ginger C., you're up, followed by Janet C. Go ahead, Ginger.
Great. Thank you, Amy. Thank you for your service, everyone doing service. I am Ginger C., a real compulsive overeater. and fear, my favorite friend, shot through with it, you know, and we have a nervous disposition as drunks, when whether it's alcohol or food, I have a lot of anxiety in my skin. And God helped me to see the truth about my fears, because really I'm the object of all my fears, because I'm selfish and I'm concerned about me, and I selfishly rely on me to solve these fears. I think I can take care of it and control it and be safe and protected. And, you know, the greatest fear, and this is why I wanted to share this morning, was the fear of never getting back. Because if you take that great lie and you eat that bite, all bets are off. You think, oh, I'll just go out Friday and be back Monday. And that's a great goal, but that's not reality. And, you know, so for anyone who's eating and who's in the pain of this food, who wants to step ashore, keep praying. You know, that's all I did. I couldn't stop eating. I wish it were so simple as to hop in a car with Bill and go for a drive and get into recovery. I couldn't. I tried so many times. I'd wake up determined, I'm not going to eat today. I'm not going to do it today. I'm not going to kill myself anymore. I'm going to have my first day of abstinence. I'm going to stake this date, yada, yada, yada. And within hours, I was eating the food and right back where I left off. And then it would be months. And then it turned to years. And that blew my mind. I had never had such a long relapse in OA. Usually I took the first bite. It was maybe 6 months, barely a year, but never years, going on almost five. So thank God this book works, and it is all about this higher power. We must have God's help, right, to remove the selfishness, the self-centeredness, Ginger always thinking about Ginger. And God makes that possible. And if you're eating, I will tell you the one thing that I did do is I have never stopped asking, seeking, and praying. God help me. God help me. But it's divine timing, and every beautiful bite works, because to get the first step, truly get the first step for the first time in 30 years of OA, I had never completely taken step one. I was shocked. But that was my problem. You know, if it's an option, if food's going to be an option for you, it will always be an option. You got to shut that back door tightly, seal it. You are not normal. You are different from other people, Ginger. If you don't ingest it and you don't take it in and you're really honest about what you're eating, that's another part of the problem too. And you don't associate with those behaviors that will trip you up. Two things you got to do. You're probably going to stay. But again, it takes what it takes, but I never stop praying, and I am just so grateful to be back with you all. I cannot even tell you the joy to just be out of the food yet one more day. So thank you, God, doing for me what I don't do.
Thank you so much, Ginger C. from Colorado. Janet C., you're up, followed by Tony B., and hopefully we'll have time for Baroja K. Go ahead, Janet. I get it, Janet.
Star one.
Hi, this is Janet S. from the Pennsylvania area.
Okay.
I'm a compulsive eater, and I had misstated my name a couple of times. One of my fears is speaking on a phone meeting. I am so grateful for this meeting and for jumping on the first time in 2 years since I've been on the phone meeting. I am redoing the steps and wanting to know I am working on step four starting today. And last night I read the pages with the paragraph that was read. And sitting here this morning and listening to everyone, I really just wanted to claim my feet. But then as the meeting went on, I heard some things that I had never heard before put that way. This is my second or third time actually going around working on fears. And I just heard some shares this morning that actually brought tears to my eyes. And how great is it that God is with me to remove my fears, to accept my fears. And one of the things that I've never done is actually turn over the word fear like turned over this situation or that situation, but actually turning over the fear and hearing this morning that, you know, I think that fear is gripping me, but actually I'm the one that's gripping this fear. So I will keep coming back, and with that I will pass.
Thank you so much, Janet. Happy to hear you. That's Janet F. from Pennsylvania. Okay, Tony B., you're up, and maybe there'll be some time for you, Broha K., at the end. All right, Tony, please go ahead.
Thank you, Amy. My name's Tony B., and I am a compulsive overeater, gratefully recovered for today, thanks to God's grace. I live in Scotland. And, I did many inventories before getting properly recovered. And I think what one of the last speakers said about not having that step one in place was quite true of me. And I kind of wondered, you know, okay, I'm going through this process just like it's a tick box kind of process listing these fears. But, you know, it's ongoing. It has to be. And I'm not going to stop having fears. I'm a human being. I can't possibly imagine a time when I'm not going to. And, you know, this is the start of the process, this fourth step where we're looking for the first time. We get an idea of what some of our fears are. We're aware of them. But really, it's a lifetime's work. I can't think my way out of fear, that's for sure. You know, it's like being in a prison when I'm in fear, and I have to have God's help. And, you know, it's a loving God who, when I go to with these fears and resentments, now mostly in my 10th step inventories, I get a loving response from him. I'm aware of my humanity, and he forgives my, my fears, sometimes that I've acted out on, sometimes that I haven't, that I've just got running around in my head. But he always reminds me that I'm safe, that I'm loved and protected by him, and that all is well, and I needn't fear. If I'm fearing, I'm looking into the future, or I'm looking back at the past, and God is here and now. And I'm grateful for fear, because that's where I find God, because I stop when I'm in fear, and I do an inventory, and that's where I find him, in the present moment, when I do that inventory, and when I speak it with somebody, and when I pray, and I come back, and it's all dissolved in that moment, and then it's going to come back again. But in that moment, I get freedom again, and I just hope to be, you know, more in the present moment, so that I can be more with God and less with fear. So with that, I'll share the time. Thank you. I love you all.
Thank you so much, Tony B. from Scotland. Broha, we've got about a minute and a half if you'd like to take it, or you could share in the next hour, your choice. Broha K., I'll take that as a no. All right, we have exactly 1 minute. Who would like to share for 1 minute? Okay, sounds good, people.
I can
Hi,
share.
Toby K.
Oh, Joanne B.
Joanne, go ahead. You're the only person I heard. Got a minute.
Okay. This is Joanne B. from Vermont, compulsive overeater. Thanks, everybody, for the shares about fear. and for me, like, I do have a really big fear that I'm dealing with right now regarding my son. And I just try and turn it over every day to God and just say, you know, please help me be as supportive as I can. I don't know. I can't have no control over a situation. And all I can do is be helpful, loving, kind, supportive, and be there for him, but to help him when he asks for help. And that's all I can do. The rest is really not up to me. I have to rely that on God that things will, this is his journey and things will work out the way they're going to work out. So when I do that, it really helps a lot, turning that fear over. Thanks, everybody. Have a happy new year.
Thank you, Joanne. Thanks for taking us out. And thank you, everyone who shared. Thank you to Team Monday for the month of December. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing of this hour. The share ID for today's meeting, Monday, December 30th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 22,034. That's 22,034. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Well, Tamara C., will you please take us out?
Tamara C. here in Missouri. Is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you, to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.